We welcome you this evening to Bethel Baptist Church, to our evening service and fellowship that we have. And I'm sure you have a wonderful time with your mothers and your home. And for those who are here in the auditorium, bless your heart that we will have another service on the pastoral areas, functions of the pastors and responsibilities. And above all, those who are listening over the internet in the evening, we thank you. And we pray that your day has been a blessing to you and those around you. We always start the evening service with the number 255, which is a testimony of what we believe. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And nobody can take you, Jesus, apart from us. Thank God. It was for us, well, we will lose it. But God keep it in our heart, and that's why you stay there. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Praise the Lord. With a whole heart, praising my Savior all the day long. You created one day to worship you and to love you. And it is a living testimony of those around us when they see the whole day here in church, learning, practicing, enjoying one another. And now we close the day praising you and learning from you. Thank you, Father, that you are that kind of God that, as we learned this morning, rewarded our faith. May this be a living testimony and encouragement to our life, that when we trust you, you take care of us. Bless us as we praise your name in Jesus, we pray. Amen. Number 2 and 255, please. I want you to keep in mind and pray constantly. I happened to be doing a funeral here in town on Thursday for a Japanese family. They live in Meadow Street, so it's very close to our church, a neighbor. Mrs. Campana lives about a block from them, and the husband died, 58 years old man, and they don't know what to do about it. So Mrs. Campana said, well, if you want, my pastor can do the funeral. And it was here in Johnson & Johnson, here in town. And so she called me, and I said, well, tell them to call me. And they called me. I visited with the family. Nobody speaks English except one in the family. And they were here. And so I have to learn something about the man. So I said, is anything that he has, it would be proper for me to see in order to know what he believes and needs and so on. And they handed to me a bundle of documents and I take home, and lo and behold, this man received a Bible in Japan. And in Japan, he started reading the Bible. He was placed in Minneapolis, and from Minneapolis he moved to California, and he keep on reading the Bible but cannot tell the family about the their belief, because they're Japanese and they believe in the Lama things and Buddha and all this. But he had a strong faith, and so I went back and visited the family. I don't tell them what the document was, but I said, the Japanese are very respectful, and even though the document was there, they don't open because it was sacred. And I said, we're going to do this. One of you will speak about your dad. I said to the children, we're two, and I speak about his spiritual life. And there was a Jehovah Witness fellow also who is very interested in brainwashed the family and everybody. And he was there in the funeral. He said, I should participate. I said, you better sit down here and glue to your chair and don't move. And so I read what this man believed. And Mrs. Campana said, pastors, what is the verse the Bible said, even dead, he speak? And I said, oh, you know, Mrs. Campana got so emotionally involved that you raise your hand in the middle of the funeral, you know, like a Bible class. So the Hebrews 11:4, you know, and so the family were very, 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 very cooperative and pleased, and they said right away, I do the table on the side. And everybody who come in, there were about only 25 people given envelopes like that. And later on I learned that everybody who visit, you have to pay for the funeral. And so everybody gave money. And maybe you're familiar with that. Bernie been in Japan, lived what, 1 year in Japan? Yeah, so the family was here this morning. Right there, 1, 2, 3, 4. And the four, there was her brother who knew English, his son, her son, and Emily. So pray for Emily. She wants to know. I wish Nobuko was here because she doesn't know English and needs some Japanese person to explain. And she wants to know. I want to secure a Japanese Bible. Do you have one? Good. So I want to visit the family again and bring the Japanese Bible when their daughter is there. Their daughter just graduated from college in Santa Clara. She became a nurse. She took her graduation and put it on the casket and said, you pay for this, you graduated. It was very emotional. The director of the service came out and he said never saw such an emotional ride to the morning service. He said, it was one of the best service we ever have here. You never know when you are with 100% unbelievers, you never know what to do. And this fellow who is a Jehovah's Witness wants to secure these documents to take it away from the family, but I close it, seal it, give it back to the family, and I told him, if you want something, you have to get it from the family. It is just a joy to see them here, and this morning said to me at the end, he said, we're going to come here often.
Amen.
He said, because we need to learn, they said. And you know, the Japanese, she said, yeah, and I hope the brother explained to her like this. His name is Maiku Go. Go is Chinese. He was born in Indonesia and raised in Japan. That's but the rest, married Japanese lady, and the rest of the family, they're all Japanese. What a great opportunity God gave from time to time to open the door, right, listening to you, you know. It's just a pleasure to do that. But I don't know what to do in reality. I said, well, here's his family and all this. So the Lord's going to give me wisdom. So if I ask questions, usually you learn a hint how to do it. And I'm glad that he was the one who preached to the family. All right. We need another song from you. And Anthony is ready. 262. All right.
great.
How about 461? 461, yes, sir. Very sorry, Wayne called my cell phone. My cell phone is off on Sunday. So he called my cell phone requesting the church webpage so that he can listen way in Texas? In Texas. But too bad. All right, good. Yeah, he left a message, but on Sunday it shut it off. All right, Bernie?
257.
All right. 257. Brother Rad, give us a report there in our friends in Pacific Hill.
23 people.
Brother Greg is Paul.
Yeah, on the Christ, our justification.
It's Christ is our justification. He's learning the boy. All right, that's good. Okay. He was a good sermon. You passed the grade to me and I sent him to the seminary. All right, here it is. All right, Christ has justification. You start Romans and... you want to start Romans when?
I'm doing Romans, studying it right now, but I'm going to be teaching in the 3:30 class, Romans 5, on June 3rd.
On June 3rd, that's what I thought. All right, another day. Maria?
500.
500, yes indeed. Wonderful to have the family of God and to have the assurance that we will be one day saying, Gabriel, yes, yeah, that's great.
I thought it would be
when the roll is calling down there. Senorita, Devin, 241, okay, here we are, that's a good question. We got room for many things in our life. The great question is, have you any room for Jesus? you have, Señorita Tricia? 452, all right. With these one, praise Him, praise Him. We sing the four stanzas of 442, the three stanzas, praise Him, praise Him.
Thank you.
and we encourage you to, I hope you have an outline of these evening Bible study. We just started in the book of First Peter in combination to the answer about the officers of the church. And after these, I'm going to look for the deacons and find the studies on their responsibilities and dues of their life. But if you turn your Bible to Philippians in chapter 1, you find there the officers of the church. There is a large, big argument in theology about if the church, does the church have priests, for example? We need a priest. They would need an elder. They would need an overseer. And all kinds of names going around. And the simplicity of the scripture tells you what we need. In Philippians chapter 1, we read in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. And then these saints in Philippi have two officers with bishops and deacons. Bishops is the name of the person involved and oversee. Pastor is what he does. He's shepherd. Pastor is the Latin word for the English word shepherd. And shepherd means to feed. All right? That's what the word really means. Now, in John Gospel, in chapter 21 of John Gospel, and in verse 15, Jesus taught the pastors, as he teaches the first pastor, he taught the pastors what to do. In John Gospel, chapter 21, and in verse 15, if I can move my Bible there, here it is. This is what Jesus said. So then, when they had dined, as Jesus and Peter, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, and thou knowest that I love thee. And he said, feed my lambs. Then the next verse, verse 16, says, Jesus said to him again, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said, feed my sheep. And then, verse 17, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. What's the job of a pastor? I think Jesus was saying, if you have a Spanish Bible, the Spanish Bible said, pastor my sheep, pastor my sheep. In other words, feed my sheep. That's the job of a pastor. Now, I believe the First Peter and Second Peter in your Bible records for us the response to Jesus' command. If you go to First Peter chapter 5 before we conclude with chapter 1, and in verse 1, Peter is now talking to all of us and all those who have been ordained pastors. And he used the word elders, which is the word episcopos. It means the one who oversee the congregation, which is part of the job of the pastor. He said, the elders which are among you, I exhort. Now, I want you to notice again, I never tire to tell you, that in this verse, the Roman Catholicism is destroyed in the idea, they destroy themselves in the idea that they said that Peter was a pope. Look at what he says about himself. He said, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also, what? An elder. He doesn't say the elder. All right? He will say, I am also that elder. That changed the whole picture. But he say, an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, that qualify him as an apostle, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, what was his counsel to the congregation, to the pastor? Verse 2. What was his counsel? Look at verse 2. He said, feed the flock of God. All right? So, the pastor is not to direct, be a chief of the board or doing this or the other. The pastor is there to oversee, to have like the CEO of a company, have the whole vision of the ministry, that his function is to perform the feeding and then to release all the obligations and all the details of the church function like a corporation to those people with a special gift in every area. And that's the function of the pastor. Now in chapter 1, as Peter feed us, he feed us on the issue of salvation, remember? And you have the paper, and the first part of the paper, page 1, is what was explained last Sunday. And remember that when you want the security of salvation, is just within that paragraph of verses 1 to 12. Now we go to the second paragraph, which is verse 13 to 21, all right? And now he's talking about, in this paragraph, a different course. Imagine we are having in the restaurant celebrating Darlene's birthday, and the first course was a salad. The second was not a salad. To me, it was a great plate, they call it. And then the third was not a great plate, was dessert, a cheesecake. So now here we have, in a good restaurant, they give you a salad, they give you a meal, whatever you call it, there were three or four different kinds, and then they give you a dessert. And now that's exactly what Peter is doing. First, he gives us the salad, salvation. All right. Now he's going to give us the body, Christian living. You are saved? Now this is the way you live, he said. All right? And so that's what the pastor does. In the morning, he teaches Christian living and teaches to the occasions of the calendar, and then in the evening he feeds the church on the doctrines of God. And that's exactly the hardest thing to do is to design the outline of feeding the people. And then on Sunday school you learn the Bible, and you come in the evening and you're encouraged by the Psalms. And so every time you come to church you have a different food given to you, so that you take it in and you assimilate it, and then you have a balanced Christian life. There are churches who only teach theology, and that's what those people feel, we are the best of the world, and they don't know how to live as a Christian. So you need a complete balanced food for your body, you need a balanced teaching for your life. So let's study this section. Now, what is the counsel of God for Christian living? Number one, live in holiness. All right? Now, Peter gave us four clues here. Number one, prepare your mind. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Put one hand here and go to 2 Corinthians with me to chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Look at what the Bible says. He's talking to us, the Apostle Paul, on the same issue, and he said this, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see that? So, prepare your mind. And in verse 13 said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Prepare your mind. Don't let your mind go into the world. Don't let your mind feed the things of the world. You can go to school, you can understand what other people said, but let not that be your food. Your food is the scripture. And you can understand what a professor in physics teaches through the scripture. And you can see how off he is as he trying to understand the functions of the world as he explains them and doesn't know why. You can study chemistry, and then you have the same thing. Inorganic chemistry, the origin and things of things. Organic chemistry, the compositions and formulas, the how they function together. But then, anything that is against the scripture, you just smile, because you know that God is the creator of everything. You know that God has done everything according to his pleasure. And nothing happened because God designed it. And so, therefore, prepare your mind. Live in holiness. You cannot live in holiness automatically like that. It's not something, I wake up in the morning, now I'm going to be holy today. Holy means separated from God. You have to prepare your mind. Prepare your mind. Watch the magazines you read. Watch when you read the newspaper. You know, you watch anything that goes into your mind. That's preparing the mind. All right? Now, also, obey the word. Look at verse 14 to 16. As obedient children, no passion in yourself according to the former lust of your ignorance. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. No passion yourself to the desires when we were unbelievers. All right? But as he which hath called you as holy, so be ye holy in all manners of conversation, in all manners of dealings. Because it is written, if you want to be holy. No, imperative. Be holy. Why? Because I am holy. Or for I am holy, Exodus 19 verse 6. That's what God said prior to the Ten Commandments. And so therefore, there is then a disposition of the mind first. You don't let any garbage comes into your mind. You know, when you buy a computer, you buy what also? Virus protection. You don't want any garbage in your computer. All right? So buy a virus protection from the world. All right? And you know what it is. It's right here. Is the word. If you read the word, you understand everything that goes on. Okay? Everything that goes on. If you understand it, and you feed your mind, if you read, that's what it's good to read the Bible in the morning, because you feed your mind with the concept of God. That's your virus protection. All right? And then, here is the disposition of the mind. You have to obey. You have to say, I'm separated. I'm no part of this junk business. I'm no part of this element. I'm no part of this conversation. I'm no part of this kind of thing. And you take that stand, you obey the word. And that's what separates you. Actually, people said the Christians are separated people. No, we're not separating from anybody. We have a lifestyle which alone separates us from everybody. The fact you are here, that tells you you are separated from anybody. I was talking in Argentina to a fellow who likes to go and see the soccer game. That's very nice. So how do you arrange that with Sunday? And he said, well, you know, I only spend $10. I don't ask you how much you spend. I said, how do you arrange going to the soccer field with your son, who is only 6 or 5 years old? And he said, well, it's a great game. I understand. It's the best game of the world. But how do you justify it yourself? He said, well, what is wrong with that? He said, what if it's over time? He said, well, my church needs to have meeting at 7 p.m. The game's end at 6, and then I rush to the church. He said, what if you cannot make it? He said, well, I bought all the tickets for the whole year. I said, I'm not asking you that. I said, how do you justify this ability to go to the soccer field, get your blood all happy that you don't watch soccer lately. Oh, how nice. You participate in the thing. And you come back to the church full of soccer. What do you talk after the church service? About the game, the soccer game that you saw. And what these boys learn about it. And you see, there is some obedience that costs. There is some obedience that really costs. There is some obedience that really is against what we want to do. But you do it. That's what's called discipline. All right? You do it. All right? So, live in holiness. Prepare your mind. Obey the word. Discipline yourself. Then, number 3, be in fear of God. Look at verse 17 in 1 Peter chapter 1. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect the person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That means fear of God. If you put one hand here and you go to Proverbs in chapter 8 and in verse 13, you have the definition of the word fear of God. You know, when I was teaching Hebrew, I told them that it's very easy to interpret the Bible. If you want to know what is the fear of God, you find a text in the Bible that tells you what is the fear of God. So here it is, Proverbs 8, at verse 13. The fear of the Lord, what the Bible said, is. So, no argument now. This is what God said. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the poor mouth, do I hate. Now, with this business of our church building, we will have a building no better than anybody. We will have a building no bigger than anybody. We will have a building that we need. Period. We are not making a building for competition. We are making a building for need. Is that right? That's what we do. And we have to keep it that way. Our house, all right, you may have small house, that's convenient for you, or a big house. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. My brother-in-law always tells me, now he's with the Lord, but well, the first time Raquel went to Argentina was 72, 73. Miriam was 6, so maybe in the 70s. CTA. And I kind of go, and they were asking, what do you have? And, you know, they see movies. And movies you don't show in the little houses, they show the big palaces and these. And what do you have? How is America? I said, well, I have a refrigerator like everybody have a refrigerator. I have we had no dishwasher at that time, so we have a washing machine like anybody have a washing machine, and we have a Volkswagen. And so, it's not a big deal. It's not, don't make your life a big deal, all right? That's very, very important. Live in the fear of God. Hate anything that will put that thing before God. Don't allow anything in your life. Don't allow your money. Don't allow your work. Don't allow anything be before God. That's living in God. That separates you. Then number 4, appreciate your salvation. What a great explanation of our salvation. Verses 18, going back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18 to 21. Look at your salvation again. Verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. You were not redeemed with a certificate signed by Pastor Otero. You know? You were not redeemed with that. You were not redeemed by taking holy water from the faucet and a sprinkle in your head. No! Look at what the Bible says. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver, and gold, big offering to the church or something, from your vain style of life received by tradition from your fathers. You were not redeemed because your fathers were believers and went to church and did all of that. But with the precious blood of Christ, I like the word precious. Precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That reminds you Exodus 12, don't you? Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. In other words, Christ, really, the plan of salvation was not something that God come out and said, Adam sinned. Now, what are we going to do? We have to save human beings. God knew that Adam will sin, and so he had the plan of salvation way before eternity passed. Verse 21. Who by him do believe in God, that raises him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in your church. Knowing God. Do you see it? So, appreciate your salvation. Never be confused about salvation. Never think your salvation is something you have done. It's something that God has provided. And now you know it. So, when Peter teaches about holiness, and by Peter God teaches, he really give you a simple 1, 2, 3, 4 steps for your life. He said, prepare your mind. That's something that we don't take in consideration. Alright? Before we read the newspaper, read a chapter of the Bible. It's going to help you. Obey the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Now, be afraid of it. Now, when you just believe, you're enthusiastic. I think it takes time for that being afraid. But God is a judge. You saw the verses? He's a judge. You cannot get away with anything we do. God is watching. And if we think that God can get away, something happened to us, and God's saying, pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. And then, appreciate your salvation. Appreciate your salvation. Now, that's what, there are many single people here tonight, but if you're married, you appreciate your wife. I keep telling people the best thing that happened to me is that God gave me a wife who loved me and cared for me. That doesn't mean somebody told me this morning, talking about, he said, your wife's very tough, don't you? Yes, very tough. You're not fooling around with my wife. She looked at your eyes and she knows what's going on. Well, we've been for more than 50 years together, 7 years and a boyfriend, and 46 years married, 51. She looked at me and knows exactly what's going on. No, I don't have to speak. And she's tough. And I need it. God knew that I need it. All right? So I appreciate my wife. Best thing that happened to me was getting in love with Raquel. So living holiness. It's not easy. It's not a word. It's a 1, 2, 3, 4 things to do. Write it down in a piece of in a 3x5 card. Put it in your wallet. Look at it every day and discipline your life in that way. You will shine for Christ. Then he switches. After you live in holiness, he doesn't want you to be so proud that you are better than so and so. Or this and the others. One thing I cut off to meet with pastors in this community is because everybody talks about their members, this and the other. That's the worst thing to do. You don't talk about people. That's against the law if you're a psychologist. And it should be against the law if you're a pastor. It's just, look at how we should live in harmony with one another. Look at what Peter said. God gave us 3 directions, 3 clues for that. Number one, practice sincere love. Look at verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. No wax love. No wax love, you know. You put wax and you fix it, the heat come in, the wax is gone. Now, I mean real love. Real love. That you love your brethren regardless what that brother or sister does. And if that brother and sister sin, what do? Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. You who are spiritual, you go and restore that person. In other words, practice sincere love. You love the brethren. You love them. Regardless of what they do, you love the brethren. Will save you a lot of headaches. Save a lot of headaches. Alright? Now look at secondly in verse 23. Apply what you believe. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You have a different seed inside you. And so you are a different kind of person. And you deal with the other person under a different kind of attitude. That doesn't mean you are floppy and fluffy. One of the things I love about the new location, and the chairman of the board told me that this will be a blessing to me, is that I don't have more hobos coming in or ladies or things coming in and trying to try a snowball for need. You know, people in benevolence, they call you. I can tell you right away, yes or not. But people come in, and sometimes they come on Sunday, and they try to say, oh, I have this need and the other. And you, the Bible says, you have been born in incorruptible seed. You can spot that in a second. If a lady said, I need clothing, my question is, what size? And the lady said, any size, she's going to sell that clothing. All right? If you have children, you know the size of your children. If you have clothing for your need, you know what it is. If somebody called and said, I need to sleep. I said, why? He said, well, you know, I need a place to sleep. Why? Don't you have a place to sleep before? Said, that's not what I'm asking you. Well, I'm asking you, do you have a place to sleep before? You lose it? Why you lose it? And if the guy don't want to have an interrogation, then I hang up. But I learned the hard way before the people will come in. Oh, I need to sleep. I take it to the hotel and pay. And I don't know if I forgot the car or something. I returned to the hotel right here in town. And I asked the person, where do you put these ladies? Said, right here in that room. So will you come with me, please? I have to ask a question. So I go with the man, knock the door, and a man opened the door. And I said, what are you doing here? Oh, and she said, I need to have a day of wonderful time, you know. I need good time, too. So I said, boy, Pastor Girl, you learned something. Hurt my heart. You know, I was paying $75. Hurt my heart. And so now, you know, you make notes. And I had a nice questionnaire when somebody called me. I go through the questionnaire. All right? And it doesn't submit to my questionnaire. Goodbye. You know? And I don't feel bad about it. I don't feel they have denied somebody something. And people post, when do you have the next money available? You know, these kinds of calls come in. When do you have the next money available? Well, what do you think it is? Social Security or something? You apply what you have believed. Now you're a child of God. It doesn't mean you're stupid. You are super smart. And you move your antenna around. And when you talk to people, you read people. Remember, Jesus never committed to people because he knew what was inside the people. Well, now we are like Jesus. And you know what people are telling you. So practice sincere love. Apply what you believe. And hold fast to your standards. Look at verse 24 to verse 25. For all flesh is as grass. All the things of this world is as grass. And all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. As soon as my plants comes up, I got my digital camera in that patio, the deers, I am inside, and the deers come outside, and I laugh. I tell them, because they cannot get in, I have the door. And I laugh at them. And I take pictures of the rhododendrons and these, and I love plants. And now, Mary gave me one is loaded, I'm just feeding and putting, ready for that. Do you like flowers? Flowers is life. And I want to take pictures. But you know, the last one day, the last 2 days, what happened? The flowers go. All right, that's what the Bible says. The grass withered away. And so all flesh is like a flower, is like grass. All the things of this world, all the power, your car. I'm driving a 12 years old car. When we bought the car, man, we have a 95 Lincoln. Woo-hoo-hoo, that was good. Now I'm complaining. I'm driving this old car. You know, but that's what flesh is. But the car, my boss said, as the car run, you drive it. All right? And it's pure. It is wise. But it's good. You know? What if I buy a car, new car now? What happened in 10 years? This will be another old car. See, the flesh goes away. But the Word of God, look at verse 25. The Word of God endure forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In other words, hold fast to your standards, because that is good. That is good. When I came to America 40 some years, my family was worried, how should I live in America? And one of my aunts, now in the presence of the Lord, she writes a big letter, 8-9 pages a week, send it to me. And one of the letters said, the same way you live in Argentina by the Word of God, the same way you live in America by the Word of God. I'm no longer there to go every week and bring you cheese and this and the other. She always visits us where we live, about 30 kilometers from Buenos Aires. And she will come in with the cheese and the chocolate and things for me, because I grew up with her. She said, I'm not there to do that. But you have the Word. And the Word will keep you clean. And that's absolutely true. So, what is the summary of what really Peter wants to tell us as he did as the Christian life? I type the verse for you at the end. Chapter 1 of James in verse 22. But be doers of the Word and no hearers only, deceiving yourself. You see that? Be doers of the Word and no hearers only. We come to church, we hear the Word. We need to pray. We need to pray. Lord, it's me. I need only one thing. I need to do what you said. Grant unto me that conviction. Grant unto me not only the desire, the power to do it. And the rest will be history. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that your counsel never changes. Whatever we leave in home or in a school or at work, we need to follow your instructions. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you again that we as Christians are not left alone. We have the resources in our life to live a holy life. Thank you for the instructions of Peter, who touched 2,000 years later our life. Oh God, help us to apply it to our life. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week. Eat a lot of chocolate that helps you.